Father in heaven, we need your truth. We need your teaching. We come to you for it. By your Spirit, inform us. Correct us and comfort us, Father. Father, we would see Jesus. Show him to us, we pray. Amen. Let us turn tonight to Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. And I'll be talking to you about the growing seed. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. Let us lend our ears to the word of God. And he said, Jesus, that is, and he said, kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And this ends the reading of the Holy Word of God. When Elder Van Vuren called me this week, I had preached last Sunday in our home church in Raleigh at Pilgrim OPC. And so I had caught up to my sermons in 1 Timothy, and I was just finishing the next one. So I didn't have another one. And on Thursday, I didn't have time to do another one, a whole new one. And so I was thinking about what I could do, thinking of a couple of different things. And this parable came to mind simply because it's always been interesting to me. When I was first in seminary, studying in Texas for a Master of Divinity degree, in my preaching course, our textbook had some sample sermons in it, and one of those sample sermons was on this text here. I didn't like the sermon very much, but I liked the text, and the ideas. Quite interesting. So tonight we look at the growing seed, and I have to say, looking at events today in our nation especially, and in our churches, our evangelical churches, our Reformed churches, I think it's easy to be discouraged. I get discouraged sometimes when I look at the scene and see how our nation has changed, going in the wrong direction, it seems. There are many signs of it. There is a lot of strife and a lot of expressed hatred in our nation right now. There's always hatred. There always will be until the end of time. But now there's not much of a restrainer for that hatred. It's so easily expressed everywhere we turn, it seems, and especially with the increased load of information we receive or can receive, depending on how much you use the internet. People seem to have no restraint. There's much opposition to the church and to Christians. Vice President Pence, that's right, the president is Mr. Trump. Vice President Pence is thought to be foolish when he says something like, I will not meet with a woman who is not my wife by myself. Liberal media thinks he's foolish, and old-fashioned. In fact, the church is considered by some today to be a thing of the past. And then, of course, we all heard of the latest school shooting this week, and we wonder, what shall we do? There's so much bad news. But there's good news always from the Word of God and from the throne of God that He gives to us, His people, and He has us share with the world. There's good news here in this text about the growing seed. The kingdom of God grows. The kingdom of God continues. The kingdom of God shall not fail. No matter how much opposition is brought against it, it will all fail. God's kingdom shall prevail because it is the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He is the victor. Now, the growing seed, I realized as I was planning this and editing this sermon for today, is of great interest to the farmers, I'm sure. And I realize that I'm in over my head here because you know so much more about farming than I do. But I'm just trying to explain the scriptures here, so there'll be a lot you can inform me of and have already informed me of as to the farming aspect here. In this Mark chapter 4, Jesus gives us three parables about kingdom growth. He gives us the parable of the sower and the soils, although three of the four seeds don't come to fruition as they should. Nevertheless, there is some growth indicated here in that parable. The parable of the mustard seed indicates growth from a tiny start to something really big and something strong. This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. Jesus said in verse 26, the kingdom of God is as if. The kingdom of God is the rule of God in the world and in His church. The kingdom of God means Jesus Christ is the head of His church, and He always will be. And the kingdom grows. So says this parable. In spite of how things look to us, in spite of the way we may be discouraged, the kingdom grows and the kingdom will prevail. It starts as a seed, but it grows. And we want to consider how this seed grows, the growing seed, under these four heads this evening. First of all, the growing seed grows mysteriously. Secondly, it grows seemingly spontaneously. Thirdly, it grows gradually and methodically. And fourthly and finally, it grows toward harvest. First of all, the seed grows mysteriously. Verse 27 says, the man who scattered the seed should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. He himself does not know how. And he's the farmer. He can give you scientific explanations about seed growing, planting seed, helping it to grow. But some seeds grow and some do not under the same conditions. And neither he nor anyone can explain that. And when we're thinking of mysteries, I think of John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. John 3, verse 8. The work of the Holy Spirit is mysterious. It's like the wind. We don't see the Spirit, but He's working. We see the results of His work. We don't see the wind, but we see the trees bend and other things affected by the wind. This is mysterious to us. And so is the growth of the kingdom. Mysterious growth. It's difficult to be analyzed, but it happens. It's happened since the days of Jesus. And it's still happening, and it will happen until the end of the world when Jesus comes back. In the 1970s, and I suppose before, there was what was called the School of Church Growth at Fuller Seminary in California. And this School of Church Growth studied and analyzed the factors that influence and cause church growth. And there were a number of books written from this school. And you could study a certain methodology which would supposedly teach you how to cause church growth. And of course, you can compile statistics, you can do studies, you can interview people, you can chart the growth of certain churches in certain places and come up with ingredients, factors that are similar to all the churches that grow. But there's one thing that you cannot analyze, and that's the work of God, the Holy Spirit, who brings this all to pass. It's beautiful, it's invisible, it's mysterious. It's a wonderful thing. Just like we cannot explain in detail the new birth, we cannot explain in detail the growth of the kingdom. Both are due to the sovereign power of God, and it happens mysteriously. Secondly, the seed grows seemingly spontaneously. Here's the farmer. He goes to sleep at night. He rises by day. He does his thing. And as he does, the seed grows. As we rise and as we do our work and as we sleep at night, the kingdom grows as well. It seems to us, as we observe it, to be spontaneous because we cannot explain it in detail. You've heard of spontaneous combustion. There's no match, there's no one starting the fire, but all of a sudden something bursts into flame, and we call it spontaneous combustion. We can hardly explain it. This kingdom growth seems to be spontaneous as we observe it. Christian workers can easily overemphasize their own importance. It's a temptation to every one who works in the ministry. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." 1 Corinthians 3:6. "I worked," Paul said. "Apollos worked," Paul said. "But God gave the increase." And that's always the way it is. We cannot put our faith in one person or persons. Our faith must be in the living God. There's only so much that a disciple of Christ can do. There's only so much that the farmer can do. There are certain things he can do. And in my simplistic understanding, I know that he can water, he can irrigate, he can fertilize, he can weed, he can provide an environment for growth, but he can't force the growth. He can't do that. The growth appears spontaneously, or so it appears to the non-farmer. But the farmer will say, "What do you mean it just happened? I did all this work over all this period of time. I put all my energy out for this, and this is the result." And yet the Christian farmer knows that God is at work. He's working to cause that to happen. The growth of the seed is not under control of the farmer. He does what he can. Neither is spiritual growth and kingdom growth under the control of the Christian workers and the Christian people who bear witness to Jesus Christ. God is in control. John 3 talks about, that we referred to before, talks about the new birth, the birth from above. It is something that happens by the power of the Spirit. The seed in the parable grows in a similar way. We see this growth, however, in the preaching of the gospel, the growth of the kingdom. The preaching of the gospel, the witness to the gospel, provides the environment for the seed to grow. The gospel is presented. God the Holy Spirit uses it. But we cannot make conversions. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans 10:17. We preach the gospel of Christ. When the Holy Spirit bears witness to it, faith comes forth. There is conversion, regeneration. There is a saved soul. In Romans 1:16, Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans 1:16. Here's the power. Here's what's going on. There's power in the gospel because the power of God is behind it. God the Holy Spirit, who is living and active, is using it. And then there's 1 Corinthians 1:18. "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1:18. There is power in the word of God because God is exerting his sovereign power when it is preached. And so the seed grows seemingly spontaneously, but God is at work. The preacher, the Christian witness, cannot cause it to work. Only God can do that. The unseen power of God. And I was reminded of this text in Isaiah 55, verse 11, where God says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Isaiah 55, 11. So even when people are rejecting the gospel, God is doing the work. God is condemning those who reject it. He is saving those who accept it by grace. The seed grows seemingly spontaneously, but God the Spirit is at work. Thirdly, the seed grows gradually and methodically. In Mark chapter 4, verse 28, we read, "First, the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head, verse 28. It proceeds through various stages. It takes a period of time in which patience is a virtue. When children are young and they have to travel a long distance in a car with adults present in the car, that can be very trying. I remember when our children were like 4 and 6 years old, we were ready to make a 5-hour trip in the car. So maybe they were a little older. Can't remember exactly what age, but they were children. At that time, I decided the way to attack this problem was to buy them a watch. So we bought them a watch. Now, it used to be that watches had something on them called hands before the digital ones. And so I pointed out to my boys, now when the long hand gets here and the small hand gets here, that's when we'll be there. Don't ask me when we're going to get there. Don't ask. Because it's when the long hand is here and the short hand is there. And so it worked well. You know the outcome of that, don't you? A child looks at the clock and says, this is back in the old days when there were hands, it's not moving. And so it is. The grandparent who lives at a distance from the grandchild sees the grandchild not so often and says, my, how you've grown. The parent says, really? I hadn't noticed. You know, the parent has seen the child every day. The grandparent hasn't seen the child every day. Something has happened that is practically imperceptible to the parent that is very perceptible to the grandparent, you see. So, it takes time. It's gradual. It's methodical. So it is with the kingdom of God. It's gradual and methodical. I did not get this gray hair when I was young. I didn't get these wrinkles when I was young. But you see what the years do. These things develop, and it takes time for them to develop. Sanctification in the individual Christian is something like that. It's gradual, it's methodical, it's going somewhere. You don't perceive it day by day. You can perceive it, we hope and pray, over a long period of time, or other people perhaps can perceive it better in you than you can in yourself. And the kingdom of God is the same way. It's growing. We don't so easily perceive it. We need to have patience. As Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. God's kingdom is here. It has come in Jesus Christ. It is continuing to make progress gradually and methodically. It's developing. It will come in a more mature, fuller sense as time goes by. Because Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. As we pray that prayer, he is answering it. And the kingdom is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's been going all through history. The kingdom of God is here and it's growing. In the Old Testament period, God chose Israel for his own. But there was only a faithful remnant to him. Even when God chose Israel, it was not because of Israel. It was because of his love and his free choice. But then in time, Christ came, and the kingdom came to earth and greater fullness. Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. His own disciples had a hard time believing him. His own brothers didn't believe him at first. It was gradual. It was developmental, as the kingdom is today. When Jesus told his disciples he would have to die, they did not understand it. It took time for them to understand the gospel that he was preaching. But the book of Acts records how the 120, when he ascended to heaven, became 5,000 and more, and it continued to grow. And the apostles took the gospel to other places, and the apostle Paul took it to other places, even to Europe, and the gospel spread, and the kingdom developed gradually and methodically. The story of how Jesus Christ came to earth, lived and died and arose from the dead to build the church on this basis of his saving grace. We read that story, that truth, that history in the Holy Scriptures, and it continues today. The kingdom is growing. God is taking it through its stages in spite of all the opposition. And it may look like the opposition is getting stronger, but the opposition will never overcome the kingdom of God. Fourthly, the seed grows toward harvest. The kingdom grows toward harvest. When the seed has grown and come to its fullness, it's time for the reaping to be done. It's time for the harvest. And when that time comes, the farmer doesn't want to delay too much or he will lose his crop. It's a special time. It's a time of specially concentrated and difficult work. The harvest in view here is the coming judgment of the world. Even Old Testament prophets had spoken of it. The prophet Joel, for example, in Joel 3, 12 and 13 said, he's quoting the Lord, "For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe." Joel 2, 12 and 13. And God judged many times in the Old Testament period. He did that sometimes by armies or by famine or in other ways that he chose to do, to send judgment on the nations and on his people, Israel. He can do that. He does do that. But there is the final judgment to which this points. The final judgment is spoken of, for example, in Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 through 16. "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." Revelation 14, 14 through 16. And that final harvest time is coming. And at that time, the Lord Jesus will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels, where they will be sadly punished forever." And on that day, he will say to those on his right, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. The harvest will be ready. And so, be patient. James 5:7 says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. James 5, verse 7. As it's not easy for the farmer to always be patient, it's not easy for us to be patient for the coming of the Lord. We are very saddened to see the evil in this world. We are very saddened to see the evil that remains in ourselves and the evil things we are still capable of doing, even post-regeneration. And we long for the day when the Lord will take us home and we won't be sinning anymore. But in the meantime, we have to remember God is in control of the harvest, and the seed is growing until that harvest time. So the Lord Jesus tells us a parable regarding the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like a seed that grows to full fruition to the harvest. The seed germinates and sprouts. Its growth goes almost unnoticed, but it grows. The seed must go through its appointed course, and the seed grows by the sovereign power of God. Christ gathers his church. He builds his kingdom by the ministry of the word. You are a part of it, as I am as well. And Christ does the growing through us. We must not lose faith. When we're down, we must remind ourselves, this kingdom is going to grow. God's kingdom will triumph, and we will continue to pray, thy kingdom come. We'll remember, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it, and he is building the house. We are approaching the time when Revelation 11:15 will be manifested. Revelation 11:15 says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Let us sing together. Number 166. Zion founded on the mountains. Number 166.